What to do when you don't know what to do. Next on Sound Doctrine.
When you don't know what to do, when you're flustered, in the world you'll have tribulation, trials, things you don't understand. They're going to hit you, hit your family, hit you personally. And you don't know what to do. What do you need to do? Get your eyes on Him.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Man's extremities are God's opportunities. Perhaps in hearing this, you're thinking, God sure has a lot of opportunity in my life. Not to sound insensitive, but considering the challenges we all face, prayer is a gift. And God has the power and authority needed to address our concern. Beginning today's Sound Doctrine on that very point, picking up in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, let's catch up with our teacher now. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
You are a God that knows everything, that can do anything. And so we just simply give our prayer to you, and we trust you, Lord. We're crying out to our Father God, creator of the universe. That's a big God. And they said, and you rule, in verse 6, not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand is there not power and might? So you're in control, Lord. You have all the power, all the might, so that none is able to withstand thee. I love this. Going back to Acts chapter 4 in verse 30, he says, Lord, let us speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness, and great power was upon them, and they had an awesome witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. They were really moving out for the Lord. Why? Because they believed they had a great God. Why? Because they knew where to go. They knew who to cry out to. And who to believe? You believe the liar, or do you believe the one that tells the truth? That's what finishes it. And especially as we look back on what he has done. Unbelievable. So, verse 7, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and you gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And so he begins to get into the past experiences that they have experienced as a nation, as a people. Our God delivered us. And then he gave us this land. Because, remember, the seed of Abraham. And remember, the faith of Abraham brought him righteousness. It's our faith, it's our belief in our God that brings righteousness, not in doing things, but in believing. Now, Asa, Jehoshaphat's father, didn't do this. He didn't have the faith that Jehoshaphat is experiencing here. Notice verse 8, he says, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary. Okay, Lord, we built the sanctuary, did exactly what you wanted therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us. Jehoshaphat, remember what Solomon prayed for the temple. And he's kind of using that. And he says, you promised when evil comes upon us as the sword, or judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house. And in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. Interesting statement here. You see, this is the place that God chose to be in as the cloud would arise from the holies of holies. And everybody could see it. And for his name, notice, and cry unto thee in our affliction. So this house, over in Hebrews 4, let me just read it to you. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So when you come to the Lord, he not only sympathizes with you in your affliction, in your trouble, in your trial, he empathizes with you. He was there. He experienced it. He knows what it feels like. Isn't that great? I mean, we run to Jesus because he's Jesus. He's just, wow, I want to run to him all the time. I mean, because he understands. He's with me on this, you know. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my hero. He's my all in all. So we run to him. Let us therefore, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let's cry out. We have a great high priest. He's ready to minister. He's ready to give us answers. And so in our affliction, then in the end of verse 9, thou wilt hear, when we cry out in our affliction, you will hear and help us. Turn with me to Psalm 34. If you don't know where it is, you open your Bible right in the middle, boom, there's Psalms. Easiest way to find it. Psalm 34, in verse 4 of 34, I sought the Lord and he heard me. That's important that we come to a God that has ears to hear, right? You know, Isaiah 59:1 says, it's not that God's ears are deaf that he cannot hear your prayers. It's not that his arm is short that he cannot save you. The reason that you're in a dead spot right now is because of the sin that's in your life. You need to repent. You need to get out of it, man. You need to get right with God. And you'll start connecting with the Lord immediately. That's his promise. That's his promise. But you need to repent. You need to, the Holy Spirit's convicting you of it. You know what I'm talking about. You got to just deal with it with the Lord and you can start moving on. But if you don't, you're going to be aching. Because there was a guy, his name was Achan, that stole in Jericho. And they couldn't go on to the next town until the sin in the camp was taken care of. And that's important. Sin in the camp, in me, taken care of by the blood of Jesus, by his forgiveness. So let's get back to this good news. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from what? All my fears. And that means not just one or two. We have many. It's like those legions of demons. We got many. They're all liars too, right? They all laying trips on us. All my fears. Verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord what? Heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him, and guess what? He delivers them. Then verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, those that are right with the Lord, those who have received Christ. And his ears are open to their cry. In other words, he's listening. He hears. Verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears us and delivers them out of all their troubles. Not just a few of your troubles, all of them. You mean, does that mean all? Yeah, in the Hebrews is all. All is all. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Any amens there? Amen. Okay. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Is that awesome or what? What a great psalm. I love that psalm. We share it on Sundays a lot because I just go right to that psalm. It's just so much there. But here we are. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9. In our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, verse 10, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. What is he talking about? Oh, he's throwing a trip on God is what he's doing. God, you wouldn't let us invade these guys when we were in the land. Well, they weren't ready to do that. And God said, no, I don't want you to do that. When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. God, you wouldn't let us destroy them. It's your fault we're in this. You know, it's crazy, but we do that. But what was God doing with those nations? He gave them grace. He was hoping that the children of Israel, who were to be the light of who he is, would be able to conquer them in the name of the Lord, in righteousness, and see them get saved and get into the belief in the one true living God. But notice verse 11. But behold, I say, how they rewarded us. Look, God, look at how they're rewarding us for leaving them alive to come to cast us out of thy possession. You gave us this land which thou hast given us to inherit. Israel is God's land. God, I'm just reminding you about that. Whoa. Yeah, but God is about to give them even greater grace. He gives the enemy grace. He's just a gracious God, isn't he? But then he gives Israel greater grace. Wow, that sounds good. So, verse 12, oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might. Listen to their cry. God, you got to deal with this multitude, because we're a bunch of weaklings. We don't have any. Well, we don't know what to do. God, hear our cry. Against this great company that comes against us. And then I like this part. Neither know we what to do. I don't know what to do. You know, where is the God of might and power? Where is the one that delivered so much in the wilderness and set them free, gave them water, gave them meat to eat? I mean, where's this God? Past experiences didn't carry on with them, did it? I think their parents didn't know how to hand it over to the kids. The kids don't have it. The second generation is always that way. The first one knew God and knew his power. The second generation only knew God but didn't know his power because it wasn't handed to them. The third generation, you see it all the way through Judges. Neither knew the Lord nor his power. And they're going around going, we have no might. What do we do? I don't know what to do. Do you know what to do, Bill? No, I don't know. Cheryl, do you know what to do? I don't know. No idea. Over in 2 Corinthians, Paul said, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you're the weakest, and that's what he says in verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. So I would say they're weak right now. I mean, they don't know what to do. And again, he goes on to say, thou hast given us this land, and we don't know what to do. But then he says, oh, but let God, our eyes are on you. Whoa. When you don't know what to do, when you're flustered in the world, you'll have tribulation, trials, things you don't understand. They're going to hit you, hit your family, hit you personally. And you don't know what to do. What do you need to do? Get your eyes on him. I'm not talking about like Peter, because remember, Peter got his eyes on the Lord, and the Lord says, come on out here, Peter, come on, come on, you can do it, come on. He stepped out of the boat, raging waves, and he's walking on the water. And he's trying to look at the Lord, and then he looks down. As soon as he looked down, look out. He's crying out, save me, because I can't swim. And the Lord picked him up, threw him in the boat. That's not, you know, you get your eyes off of him, you're in danger. Don't ever look at other people. We're not to be looking at one another. We're to be looking to the Lord. Period. If you're financially in trouble, spread your bills all out there. You and your wife, just spread them out before God and then begin to cry out to God and say, God, we're losing it. We're in debt. We're not doing real good. It's always a conversation. It's always a fight. It's always, you know, it's one of the major things that causes divorces. God, we're crying out to you. Fix our finances. Give us wisdom how to handle the little we have and to be good stewards of what you've given to us so we can glorify you through this trial. I think that's a good idea. If your marriage is in trouble, what do? You get with your spouse and you get on your face before God and you ask God to forgive you in true repentance and ask him to cleanse and to renew and refresh your marriage. That you know it's on the rocks, you know it's going through it. You just cry out to God and say, God, we don't know what to do. But he knows what to do. He knows what you need to do. And if you cry out to him, he will show you. And then you start doing it and you're going to find, oh, man, what a difference a prayer makes. Especially when we get desperate and we cry out to him. If your kids are in rebellion, humble yourself before the Lord and begin to intercede and have, like we were talking about, earnest prayer for them with fasting. I mean, get down and cry out to God. But don't go read a book about it. You know, somebody turned me on to this book. No, this is the book, not the book that somebody wrote. Well, yeah, but it totally blessed me. Okay, it blessed you, but I don't know if it's going to bless me. No, so don't go to the books right away or I got to get counsel. No, don't even get counsel right away. Seek the Lord. Get information from headquarters what you're to do with your situation. And he'll give it to you. You're his children. He cares about you. He knows you're hurting. He knows you're crying out. And he just wants to give you answers. But you got to get away from everything else and turn it towards him. Your heart towards him. Over in Psalm 123, verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of the maiden looks to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he has mercy upon us. So we're just going to continue to keep our eyes on the Lord until he shows us the plan. Until he gives us the victory, he gives us his mercies for our situation. Who knows? Sometimes it happens overnight. Sometimes it happens, sometimes months, years. But we keep praying. We keep our eyes upon him. So now we enter into a very interesting situation. As the enemy is closing in, verse 13, he says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, oh, and their wives, their children, their older children, with their babies, with the wives. I mean, what a scene this is as they're all standing before the Lord. But not only what a scene, what a king we have who they came to. They came to their king, to their God. And then upon Jehaziel. Jehaziel's a prophet. Prophets only come when they're needs to be a prophecy, when there needs to be something given to the people. Why? Because they're having a hard time listening. They're not doing it. They need to wake up. And so you listen to the messenger and receive the message. And so God can do his thing. So Jehaziel, the Levite, notice he's a Levite of the sons of Asaph. He's one of the lead worship leaders. And that's just what they do. And at times when they're giving a prophecy, sometimes there's music with it. So you're listening to the music, you're listening to the song, just like we heard tonight. Many of those songs had a prophecy within it to each of us. And it was through music and then the words coming forth. God was speaking. You see, worship is a big part of our relationship with the Lord. And it's a big part of God speaking to us. And what is prophecy but encouragement, edification, and comfort? And oh, how we need that today. So listen to the worship. Don't just sit there and go, oh, I think I'm going to sing that song again. And all of a sudden you're bored about the worship. No. You better listen because God's speaking. And he wants you to listen because he's going to minister to you. He's going to speak to you. So this guy pops up. It tells a little bit about his genealogy. He goes through his father, his grandfather, the great-grandfather. I mean, genealogies are really important. They knew so much about their background. And sometimes I think that can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. But I think this is very important. This is God's spokesman. This guy was handed down by the Lord through many, many generations to bring this word to these people at this time. I believe Billy Graham is one of those guys. And a whole lot of people didn't listen to him. He's back on now. I think it's Channel 17 where I'm at, but you can find him. He's on, and they're playing some of the old ones. The other night, he did it for the youth. So anointed, so powerful. A prophet to the nations, especially to this nation. And verse 15, and he said, hearken ye, and here goes the prophecy. Judah, all of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king of Jehoshaphat. You listen, king. Thus says the Lord unto you. This is God's word from the Lord to you. Notice he says, be not afraid. Remember it said he was afraid at the first? Verse 3, he feared. That's a healthy fear. But now the Lord is saying, I don't want you to be afraid. Don't let fear overtake you. Like there's nothing that can be done, okay? That's a horrible thing to grab hold of you. So be not afraid. Don't be dismayed. Dismayed is a confusion that comes into your mind when you get afraid. You're confused. You don't know what to do. And so you freeze. You don't do anything. Now, don't be concerned about this great multitude that you're seeing. Notice what he's saying. Get your eyes off the situation. Get your eyes off the circumstance. Get them where they need to be. Because the enemy's trying to use this to wipe you guys out. He's doing good so far, you know, if you're going to run in fear. Notice the next statement. What's it say? For the battle is not yours, but God.
Pastor Jeff Johnson ending today's Sound Doctrine with an encouraging reminder, and you can trust the Lord no matter what you're facing. He's fighting for you and is totally able and capable. We've been in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 today. If you enjoyed today's message, you can hear it again online at sounddoctrineradio.org and then share it with a friend. You can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5. Our phone number is 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. Well, you know, parenting sure is challenging these days, as if I had to tell you. But you know, God has all of the help we need in His Word. And today, we would like to offer you a very helpful four-part teaching series from Pastor Jeff on parent-child relationships. You will learn how to apply sound doctrine to your parenting as Pastor Jeff takes you through Ephesians chapter 6. It is available on a thumb drive or as a CD set, whichever you prefer. You can order online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us. Again, that number is 800-353-7553. And please, would you remember us in your prayers and giving to the Lord? It does make a difference. We're constantly hearing of men and women that are growing and benefiting through the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. And you're helping to make that possible with a financial gift today. Again, visit sounddoctrineradio.org. We'll return to 2 Chronicles next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. It's a radio ministry presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father.